Hello, and thank you once again for joining us for Riding Through the Ages. I am Eric.
I'm Eugene.
This is our revolving journey through the eras of Kamen Rider. This is episode 141. We are in Kamen Rider 71, episode 35. I was trying to say 35th and 35 at the same time.
I've done that.
The Killer Queen. Blah, 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 blah. Archimedes? Alchimedes, maybe? We'll find out when they say it and we never hear it. It aired on November 27th, 1971. It was written by Masaru Yagami and directed by Katsuhiro Taguchi. So, not much to say.
Alchimedes.
Alchimedes. We do have an email going a couple of things over the last 71. It says Gamma just means toad. The Giller, best is get his... The Killer.
Another name that's hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Gamma Giller.
Every single time. It's like you're having a stroke, man.
And he says, oddly enough, even Japan, the cows still go moo.
Oh.
Or at least moo.
Oh, I remember us talking about
that. Giraffes rarely make any sound as adults. As a young adult, they have a low growing.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Oh, that explains why you've like, what the hell's a giraffe sound? Yeah. I mean, we were talking about that too.
Yeah. I was saying, because I tricked my Japanese students being like, what does the giraffe say? And they're like, what the?
Yeah.
He has a whole thing about Japanese dogs, where there's only like...
That's a funny prank. I'm sorry. That's good stuff.
Yeah. They're like, what the... Because we're going, cat, dog, all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
There's six... I guess there's six Japanese dogs until they were imported by the Dutch because that's animals and all that stuff. And Shiba Inu is one of them.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, I kind of want to look up and see what dogs are native to our continent because I'm sure it's different.
Yeah.
Right? It just makes sense.
Yeah. And it's like, well, like America's so big.
Right?
Like you could probably trace the genealogies of the wolf. And like I read a book one time that it's possible that wolves domesticated themselves to dogs
just so that way you can
stick around. Get the food.
Yeah, get the scraps.
It's like dogs are like can eat almost everything like a human can, except for with like a very few exceptions.
Uh-huh. I think things are getting a little too salty for them these days.
Well, it's like extreme stuff like chocolate and cheese and stuff like that. Like things that like we've heavily processed down to.
Right.
And also specifically dogs, but just pets in general, cats too. Pets are the only animals that get fat.
Oh, yeah, like you don't see a fat.
Domesticated animals are the only animals that get fat.
Right.
Wild animals don't get fat.
Yeah, because it's bad.
Unless it's like for hibernating or something like that.
Okay, fair enough.
But that's a natural cycle. But anyways, there aren't national dogs as much as national mammals.
Mm.
Despite of having commonly known as the Shiba Inu, there isn't a national mammal of Japan.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. We got the eagle.
This is a national bird.
Yeah, it's a national bird.
I think there's national birds.
Okay, it's not a national mammal.
I mean, there's crazy stuff, especially with states. There's like state reptiles.
Yeah.
And like things like that. They just keep going.
Yeah. And then there's also like unofficial, like you would always associate like a rattler with Texas, even though I don't think that they claim it as a...
Yeah, they're official.
No, it's a dangerous animal and we don't want to get bit by it.
They start literally recycling episodes of the original Kamen Rider and episodes of 73 with minor changes at some points. I think I might have mentioned that when Nego appears, I think in Stronger, which is like 10 years away, right?
Okay.
They use the same sequence for when he transforms.
Oh, so
like literally frame by frame. They just use that clip.
The one with him jumping up.
They just use that clip. The gastric brooding frog is the frog that raises babies in its stomach that's, uh-oh, I think, now extinct. It's the arms dopant.
Arms. Oh, because we were trying to figure out the name of...
the one that made weapons.
Right.
And we were like, no, it wasn't violence, and it was arms.
Arms. It's so obvious.
Yeah. The Andes are in Peru and Ecuador. However, the version I saw said the Alps. And so it might have been the Alps, it might have been the Andes. Well,
I thought it said Alps. And then later, I'm sure it said Andes. So I think we got a mix.
Yeah. The Sawbones podcast point out that much time under a blowtorch in Home Alone would melt the hole in your skull.
It's such a messed up movie.
Oh, yeah, I was talking about Artemis Chow. It says, Artemis Chow sure does like to tell people he's the sixth smartest man in the world. He won this via the death of the former sixth smartest man in the world, Polygamius Dupree, in a highly scientific barrage of bullets. He became sixth by winning the Mastermind Excello contest that Dupree set up specifically to kill people smarter than him.
Whose comic was that?
So Artemis Chow initially appeared, I believe, in Hulk.
Okay.
Hulk. He was the side character in the Hulk.
So this storyline, I mean, would be in his comic?
I think what it was, they did this a lot back in, like, the 90s and stuff. There was the main story, and then, like, there was a second feature.
Mm.
It was, like, a six-page or something like that in the back of the story that would be attached to another book. And so they'd get stories that wouldn't be popular enough to have their own monthly story. Like, in Teen Titans, they would have the Ravager, which is Deathstroke's daughter, in the backstory.
Okay.
Because they wanted to tell a Ravager story, but Ravager wasn't popular enough to have her own book at the time.
Okay, yeah.
And so they do a bunch of these things, and I think that's what it was with Artemis Chow in the back of Hulk.
Okay.
But then Artemis Chow became, like, Hulk's best friend, and then he had this incredibly good run where he was with Hercules, which I want them so badly to make a Hercules TV show.
Yeah.
Because Hercules in Marvel Comics, especially, like, in the 2000s and stuff, is amazing.
Yeah.
He is, like, the ultimate bro, but, like, cool.
Right.
And, like, things like, there was a whole story where, like, he dies, and Artemis Cho has to go through the whole thing of, like, because in DC Comics, Hercules was the character of Hercules in Mythos, and at the end of his journey, he succeeded in his trials and became a full god.
Okay.
So he's immortal.
In DC?
In Marvel. In DC, Marvel. He's a villain.
Okay. That's what I was saying. I was saying in DC, I don't remember that, but yeah.
In DC, he's the villain who was the reason why the Amazons are enslaved.
Right. But in Marvel.
In Marvel, he's a hero.
Yeah.
Which is great in the crossover because Wonder Woman took out her anger of the Marvel, the DC Hercules on the Marvel Hercules.
He doesn't deserve that.
Yeah, it's like he didn't do anything. Like, but anyways, so he dies, and then Artemis Chow has to take care of his effects because he was his best friend. And so he's going around, and he finds out that Hercules, like, owned, like, 41, like, breweries all across the nation. All these women loved him and all this stuff. It's because he's like, he didn't have any need for money, so he just kind of gave it away. And it was just like, we just found out he was like this huge magnanimous character who didn't boast about it.
Right.
Because he just did stuff.
Yeah, he just did it for
fun. Yeah, and it turns out he was an amazing guy.
I feel like that would make a good animated series. I don't know if we could get a live action just because of the Kevin Sorbo Hercules show.
I'm saying we could get a good Hercules Disney Plus show.
Okay, yeah. There we go. There's always hope, Disney Plus, right?
Yeah, a Disney Plus Hercules show, amazing. And they'd have Artemis Chow as being the overriding, like, your everyman in the show, even though he's, like, the smartest man, and, like, he'd be one of the smartest men in, like, the show or whatever.
Right,
like,
but you could still make him, you can still see him making pop culture references.
Yeah, that's what he does. He does a lot of that type of stuff.
Drink IPAs, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Hercules would make pop culture references, and they'd be like, where'd you learn? He's like, watch Netflix.
What are you talking about? Yeah, what are you talking about?
He says, even if your dad dresses like a cultist and literally can't build a fence to save his life, keep riding. So
true.
Thank you for those corrections. I mean, we don't really pay attention. A lot of times we'll get the corrections. We're like, what were we saying?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, wait, I don't remember that at all. Well, you know, you ramble enough, you're going to be wrong.
Yes.
And you're going to be right every now and then.
Yeah. So if you want to email us, you can email us at fanboyopinion@gmail.com. Follow us on the website, fanboyopinion.com. And you can follow us on Twitter, fanboy_opinion. So now on to this episode 71.
Mm-hmm.
Ants.
Yeah, there's gonna
so
be
what are you thinking?
Queen
breathing,
ant.
Breathing fire is too actually ant-like.
No, it is. Yeah.
So, mind control.
Right, because they have the little antenna, and that counts. You can do some stuff. You have hive minds.
Yeah.
Obviously, super strength because they're fighting Kamen Rider, but that's just like standard.
Yeah.
You know. I don't know. I mean, like, I guess people forget that ants, you know, how ants eat their food. That's where the fire thing comes from, because, like, the acid.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I'm sure there's an actual term for it. I don't know if it's straight up acid, but.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Gastric juices.
Right. I feel like it's too soon for another tunneler.
And also remember, this is 71 ants.
Oh, true. It's like, what do you mean? And it's like, oh, yes. Yes.
This is pre-Google.
Right. We, you know.
Pre-Encyclopedia Britannica.
Right, it's what you think you know, not what you actually know.
Yeah, it's just the headlines of Scientific America of what ants do.
Right. I hope there isn't it's not a tunneling power, because we've had two in recent memory.
Yeah.
The mole and the antlion.
Yeah.
Not to say that you should never, ever use tunnelers ever again. That would be stupid. They're probably going to be 14 more before the end of this series. But other than that, yeah, fire. When's the last time we had fire?
I don't know. But I think what the idea was fire ants.
Okay, yeah.
So it's going to be like a poison bite or something like that.
Oh, okay.
But,
well,
but if they use the term fire ants, they take it literally, breathe fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it stings.
Yeah.
You see.
But we do know the true power of ants is the ability to break into high-tech installations and steal suits of armor.
Oh.
That's what we learned from Marvel.
Yeah, that's what we know. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I kind of almost want like an ant-based character that's just all Fist of the North Star and like, bap, 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 and then they just swell and blow up.
Yeah. It's like, of course, that's what ants are.
Yeah, because ant bites swell, man. It makes sense if you think about it.
Ant, lion, attack. Ah, da, 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 da.
Ah, hit your pressure points.
Yeah. Like in Naruto, like filler episodes or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
I love, so there's a couple of like on-running jokes in like the anime community and like YouTube, and one of them is just calling it Boruto and then Naruto's dad. Boruto's dad.
Oh, Boruto's dad.
Acting like Boruto was the original show.
Yeah.
And Naruto was like done in old style to make it look for authenticity.
Right.
The other one is Cory in the House being the best anime of all time.
Oh.
But in case everybody wants, I do know the reason why, but it's a different story.
Yeah.
But so Antlion, then we had Mole, and so this ant.
And like every plant almost pops out of the ground.
So yeah, probably like a firepower or something like that.
Yeah. It's been a while since we've had fire that I can't remember.
And it's easy for them to do with the special effects. And in case everybody's really, I thought you watched these episodes, I have, but like,
how long ago?
They all really do blend together.
Dude, don't they?
71 like, really do blend together. There are standout ones.
Yeah. That's just it. It's like there's ones that stand out because they're absolutely ridiculous. And then ones where there's actually character development.
Yeah.
But there's so few and far between that it's almost
I mean, it's a lot like how shows were like Knight Rider and all those shows.
Uh-huh.
Baywatch or anything like that.
Yeah. Like, I guess what I'm saying is that if you were to ask me to think about what happened the last 10 episodes of Kuga or Double or 01, it might take a bit, but I'll get there. Mm. If you ask me to say exactly what happened, not exactly, but just roughly what happened the last 10 episodes of 71.
Yeah.
I maybe will get two of the monsters of the week, right? You know, like one.
And I'm sure I'll mix monsters and powers up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, well, you know, that guy had this power. And like, no, that was this guy that had this power. And
right.
You're like, whatever. He kicked them. They blew up.
Right. I mean, I guess on one hand, it's hard to forget names like Armadillo Long and stuff like that.
Jabacondor.
Yeah, Jabacondor, right? Jabasic.
But, really, what you would remember is, like, what did Taki do in this episode? What did Goro do in this episode?
Yeah.
What did the interchangeable girl in this episode do?
Yeah. Seriously.
And then at the end, Ichimonji rides off renewing his vow. You know, those type of things.
Right. No, it's definitely, it's a good palate cleanser.
Yes.
Because you just watch it. I mean, you could get upset, but it's hard to.
I mean, like we say, we watch the show. It's just, it is much better to watch it one episode at a time.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a fun watch to see, like, how weird it is.
Yeah.
And, like, pulling weird things in that they're just, like, not, they're just throwing in. Like, I always bring back Shocker Law.
Yeah.
And just, like, these things is, like, if Shocker Law dictates we kill them at sunrise. We're like, what? And I don't think that's what it was, but maybe it was. Maybe so, because we always talk about, like, now, anytime they do anything weird, I just say it's based on Shocker Law.
Yeah,
now.
Shocker Law, of course.
Yeah, Shocker Law dictates that.
That was actually the sixth commandment, if you were paying attention.
Yeah. Subsection B, right. Paragraph 2, Shocker Law dictates you must tie them up into the shell, into the cell. But,
yeah, it's Colonel Zol 516.
Yeah.
Says that.
Yeah. But so, like, there's those little things. And, like, there is big episodes. And especially now, 40? I think 40. Yeah, 40 is when hunger comes back.
Yeah, so we're getting damn close.
And so we're building up to that. And there is kind of, like, before hunger comes back, there is kind of, like, what could kind of be seen as, like, a soft, or even full of, based on how the show was, season finale.
Okay.
Of, like, 39. 39 is like something you're like, oh, not like they could end the show on this, but you're like, oh, I could see where they would not have a show for a couple months after this.
Kind of like episode 13 or so when he fights like all the previous ones.
Yes, something like similar to that, yeah. where you're like, okay, this is an end of a chapter.
Yeah.
And then when Hongo comes back, it's like, it's a start of a new chapter. Mm-hmm. It would be like, oh, this is now season two.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
And it kind of has a different, a little bit of feel to it and stuff. Obviously, I mean, Hongo has a different feel to him as a character.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's so funny as watching this and be like, we're like, because I know more about it, but it's just like, Hongo, like, seems like this unreal character.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, Ichimoji is, like, a placeholder. It's hard to say, because I, like we said before, I really do like Ichimoji, and, like, a lot of what has made Kamen Rider is because of Famous's character.
Mm-hmm.
There wouldn't have been multiple writers, there wouldn't have been, like, the writer club, and all these things, if it wasn't for, like, episode 14 and on.
Right.
You know, but it's just hard when they're not doing anything with the character.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you kind of want them to get Hongo back so that they can kind of do something.
Yeah.
Even if it's this, even if it's, they do this, the same thing with Hongo and over again, it's still like, okay, well then it's a refresher because we're now, if we do the same thing for 13 episodes, we've been doing the same thing for like 20 episodes now.
Yeah.
So it's like, maybe just do a different same thing for 20 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. I do feel like some of these episodes could be a lot better if they were investing in him as a character and not a replacement for a character.
Yeah.
And I think I said that before. On one hand, it's like, it's really cool that even though he broke both his legs and they're willing to bring him back.
Yeah.
Like, is it here these days, it's like, just get a new person. He's done.
Yeah.
You know? So it's really cool that they're sticking with him and the loyalty, but then also it's like, it's kind of whack that they're not giving the new guy who's been holding it down.
Yeah.
His fair shake.
Yeah.
So it's like, double-edged sword. You can't win.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would be good if like after, I mean, they won't do this now. Obviously they won't do this now because it happened in 1971.
Uh-huh.
But if, like, he came back and then they did a spinoff show.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. That would have been really sweet.
Yeah, but they don't... That,
no, the concept is not...
They spend $5 to make an episode. I mean, how bad would they be if they made
$2.50 each? Yeah. Oh, shit. No, I'm curious, too, how they're going to handle that with the movie Shin Kamen Rider, the new one.
Oh, Shin Kamen Rider. Yeah, I don't even know if there's going to be a Nico in that movie.
Yeah. Oh, man, isn't that... That'd be kind of sad if there wasn't.
No, because I think it's going to be just...
The first
movie retelling of the, like... For all we know, he could just do a full movie retelling of just episode one.
Yeah, just the spider. There's enough there. There's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fill it in. Flesh it out.
And, like, I would be okay with that. Because, like, I think I've talked to you about this, about how, like, they'll do things when they adapt, into movies... And they'll want to get the Famous character in there early.
Right. Yeah. Kind of.
It's like a character doesn't appear until book four, but he's the fan favorite character, so we gotta put him in book one.
Right.
And we gotta put the first movie in. Yeah.
Especially if it takes away, like, the only reason they were such a great character is because the impact they had when they showed up.
Yeah, like, it done right is the live action Bleach movie.
Hmm.
Did you see that one?
I have.
Yeah. Like, how tempting would it have been for them to put Aizen in that?
Right. First episode.
Yeah.
Wouldn't make any sense whatsoever. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be fair, the Bleach live action movie is a different version of the story.
Oh, for sure.
And it is much different. And I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I dislike the original one. It's like, it's a different way of telling it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's good that they're doing it differently. And also, they weren't making a movie for a trailer like they did with the Full Metal Alchemist
movie. I was going to say, it's going to be like the fourth or fifth time we've ripped on it, but it's impossible not to mention here because they came up around the same time. Similar ideas as far as telling a story. One did it right, and one did it horribly, horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah. Because, yeah, the Full Metal Alchemist movie was made so that they could have a sweet trailer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they made some things around it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely trying to shove too much.
Can they still not get wigs right?
I know. I feel like they were just, it's more like it's a callback, being like, remember when we couldn't make wigs?
It's like, come on here.
I know.
Or temporary hair dye, at least, come on. It is like in everything I see.
Right. Well, it was so bad, I almost felt like when you see... Gluttony, that he was going to have like a very obvious bald cap on with like a ring. It was that bad where I'm like, the whole time, like, come on, we know that's fake as hell. Just,
yeah.
It's like, come on.
Did you just pull a guy? Is this a cosplay outfit you bought it like across the street? Did you spend all the money CGI on all these characters? You had to buy like cheap cosplay for it? It's like, oh man, can you not? It's like, because yeah, I don't know if he did or not, but it looked like in the Bleach movie, he dyed his hair.
Mm.
Or he was at least wearing a convincing wig. I'm pretty sure he dyed his hair. that's all connected because he was a Kamen Rider. But the actor, the actor who played Ichigo in the Bleach movie, was a Kamen Rider. In Fosei, which is only like 3 years away for us.
Well, more like 8 at our current progress.
Yes. Danger of us catching up anytime soon.
if I don't die at a heart from a heart attack at the expected time I'm supposed to die, based on my
family history,
my dad's side of the family. If I somehow dodge that bullet, we might finish around 74 and then get to start over. By then, it'll be fresh new content.
Yeah, every week will be fresh new content. We'll be like, what are we doing?
We just do the same episode twice in a row.
We just do the same episode every week.
Well, you get to see exactly like how I'll flip on a dime based on how I felt about something at the start of the episode.
Yes. So, yeah. And then not much else to say.
Yeah.
We're going to go see what the Killer Queen's power is.
Yeah, which characters get to be in this episode.
Yeah. And we will be back. Is she? Okay. And we are back. And so I remembered this episode as we were watching it.
Yeah.
And like so much happens in this episode.
Dude, this is a good episode.
It is packed full of stuff. This is every a good time episode. You're like, okay, I think they're calming down. No.
Yeah, this is one of those episodes that could be a movie. Like easily.
It could easily be two episodes. It just like with some breathers and stuff. There is no breather in this episode.
No, man. This is the first time that I've had a full page of notes for this for 71.
Yeah, like I had to stop like taking such detailed notes because I'm like, I remember that we have a while to go. Yeah. And my detailed like, I used one, maybe two words for my notes per things, but I'm like, oh, no, I have to spit out. I write on a much larger paper than you, but is why I do two sides. You do, I do two pages for your one page.
Right. Well, also, I have like much thinner lead.
But this is always just the way I take notes. I take notes very minimally. Mm-hmm. But anyways, has the opening.
Yeah, it's from listening to them say it was like Aunt Kimetis. Or something like that. And honestly,
I think Alchemidus.
Either way, it doesn't look anything like this does.
Yeah. So has the opening, comes back, and it's just like, Shocker's developing a cyborg from an egg.
Yeah. And it's literally scientists standing around an egg that's glowing, like in a green room.
Yeah. And it's just like, why not?
Yeah. It's like, start it with need.
They did it with a fossil jellyfish. What do we care? They'll do it with anything they feel like. So pops out. And not like sexy ant monster.
No, not feminine at all.
No, it's like straight up just like any of the other monsters.
If anything, this is actually one of the better ones because it's straight up just like an ant head on a human body.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
just ant head. Nice and simple.
Yes, and so they're like. Great leader is just like, okay, now we're going to do it. And they're like, okay, now we're going to test
it. Yeah.
And so the test is an interesting test. So it the is. Test is like, Alchemidus goes to a bank.
Yeah.
And then we acid.
Yeah. Shoots acid at the wall.
Yeah. Melts it down. Alert some guards. Guards come out. They're like, oh, she melts the guards.
One by one.
And because they take their time. You gotta, they ninja it up. They take their time one at a time. And then melts all the money.
Yeah, just burns it. Burns I'm like, it to
this
the ground.
This is how you destabilize an economy.
Mayhem for the sake of it.
Yeah, and then that's like, okay, yeah, and actually this plan makes sense.
Yeah,
not this like part of the plan. This part of the plan is just their test. But like the plan in general, like, oh yeah, this can make sense. Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, because the plan is using something that's already there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a plan to destroy Japan involves. A volcano.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, just activate the volcano.
Yeah.
Nobody will be ready for it.
Yeah. So
the next scene, you see like a bunch of...
Next day or something, yeah.
Yeah, there's like a bunch of webs around this house. At first, I was like, what the hell does this have to do with anything? I think they're showing you that this house doesn't get used very often, maybe. Yeah. But then you see this bird flying and he just gets shot out of the sky by a laser.
Yeah.
I'm like, now I have absolutely no idea what to expect. Two goons walk out of nowhere and they're like, yeah, the laser defense grid's working perfect. This is great.
Yeah.
Kamen Rider will never get in here.
Yeah.
And then Zol's like, hey, don't underestimate Kamen Rider's strength.
So I didn't check. I don't know. It feels weird. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just me. Is Zol's patch on the wrong side?
Oh, was it? Now you got me tripping.
Yeah, like I didn't want to go back because I'm going to be like, huh, what is it? Because I'm like, I feel like it was on the other side, but it could be that I just see eye patches on so many things that it just like it all confuses. And I'm dyslexic, so it could be just like my mind's just flipping it around.
Right. Your brain's just seeing it mirrored.
Yeah. But I looked. It's on the same side all this episode.
At least this episode.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and they'll be like, Kamen Rider won't get through. And it's always like, don't underestimate Kamen Rider.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was you that said it or if I had read it, but it was like, the guy that did House, he would switch up which leg it was that he was limping on because he actually started to develop a real life limp because he was favoring one leg for filming.
I didn't know about that.
So he'll randomly switch which leg he's limping on and nobody knew because, you know, that's not what you're paying attention to.
Yeah. I could see it.
Yeah.
Well, I could see if you spend so much time in an eye patch.
Yeah, that it would actually start to hurt your actual eyesight. So you would swap it around.
It actually, it's something that they do for like children who are like cross-eyed.
Oh, like, so that way it helps them, like, focus?
Yeah, they alternate the eye patch, like, over the course of, like, oh, this week you were on this side, this week you were on this side. And it, like, helps straighten the eye, straightening out, like, cross-eyed, like, when you're a baby, or when you're a young child.
Mm.
Under doctor supervision, just don't do it for the
moment. Yeah, right.
I'm going to develop superpowers by blocking one eye.
You're blind.
Yes.
But, yeah, so he's telling, hey, you know, don't underestimate Kamen Rider. This needs to succeed. We have don't let your guard down. And they're like, yes, sir, you know. And then he's like, peers off to the side and he like throws a shoe or something.
He throws a knife.
Okay, thank you. I couldn't see what was being thrown.
He throws a knife. It sticks in the tree and you see the tree move a little bit. And he's just like,
maybe there's like a white shoe that,
yeah, he's like somebody there. And he's like, be on alert. I'm like, yes. And he leaves. And then you see that it was Taki.
Yeah, he's been watching who knows how long. And he jumps down like, ah.
They almost caught me and stuff like that. And then there's a hand on the side. It's Hayato. It's right there.
Turns around for a karate chop. Yeah, Hayato. He's like, I followed you in secret.
And he had the FBI tracked a signal here, I guess.
Oh, I love this. I love this because he was like, he's like, I use this thing to track this mystery signal. I love how they just call it this thing.
Yeah.
It's just a little thingy that's just, you know, kind of like you'd use to track, like, Geiger counter or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it's just like,
just going back
thing.
And forth.
It's like, that's not his specialty. Taki's not a tech guy.
Yeah. You just use this thing to track a mystery signal.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And he's just like, must be Shocker. Let's do it.
No need to explanation. Or like, the, you know, like back in the older episodes, it was like, yeah, I designed this tracking device for your pen or something.
Yeah.
It's like, don't explain it. Just
keep on.
The thing.
So they take out two of the guards.
Yeah, they just randomly attack
him. They take out two of the guards, and then they have to question one of the guards by beating him.
Yeah, it's like, hey, tell us how to get past the laser grid. Yeah. At this point, I thought they were past the laser grid, so I was extremely confused.
No, they're behind the laser grid, I guess.
Yeah, it's really close to the building.
Yeah. And they're like, that switch. And so this is a switch, and then they switch.
Yeah, there's a branch that has a like an obvious switch on it that you just flick up, problem solved.
And then they switch their clothes by going undercover.
Mm-hmm.
So they go up to the front gate, and the guards are like, password, and they're like...
What's funny? Okay, so here's the funny thing about this. This is all right outside of the front door.
Yes. It's like around the corner.
And so these two guys just jump out of somewhere directly in front of the front door with knives out, like, what's the password? Apparently, they didn't see or hear any of the struggling or the...
Yeah.
Tell me who you work for. None of that.
Well, remember when they had to get into that one base, they just lit a fire off to the side?
Yeah. Yeah, like right there.
And they're like, what's the password? Kamen Rider. And they just punch him. I'm like, so what is the point of costumes?
Yeah. Well, because that's just it. As soon as they walk through the door, they take the mask off.
Yes, it's like the worst disguise set. It's great. So, then they come and it's like cobwebs everywhere. And I'm like, they realize it's not a spider monster.
Yeah, I don't know what was the,
just, it's old.
Just a creepy old, you know.
And so they're walking and they just barely avoid a trap.
Yeah, it's like the roof is collapsed or not like a spike roof thing that slams down. It makes it look like it's a wall.
Yeah.
Not a bad idea, really.
And so they're like, they must be really hiding something. Then they hide. Then they just jump. I thought they were going to go through the roof real quick there. But I'm like, Taki doesn't do that.
They hear some people, so they jump up and they hang on to the ceiling.
Yeah.
You know, as if there was a pole up there or something.
Just so they can see the guards undo the trap, and then they drop down and follow.
Well, that's what's great about this, too, is it's like the goons walk up and the trap is triggered, and they're like, strange, let's investigate. Where's the alarms?
So this is what's really funny. So I think this is just layout. So what it looks like is they open the alarm and then they go down that hallway. Taki and Hayato drop down and then they go down the stairs to the side.
Yeah.
They don't even go down that hallway.
No.
But they come from that hallway later.
Yeah.
It's a maze. The house is a maze.
Right.
But so they go down some stairs to like the basement.
Yeah, and they open it up and they're like, they shocker go through base. Like a globe picture, and yeah, it's a shocker base.
They go through the shocker base. There's a shocker base door, and they go through it, and then they're in the shocker base.
Yeah, so there's tons of eggs everywhere. And they're like, you know, WTF? I think there's
seven or eight of them. Yeah,
yeah, in the, like on a shelf, and there's one that's prominent in the center of the room with a thing
like a light,
like an incubator or something,
yeah,
doing a green glow on it. What's funny is there's this huge ant picture,
and they're like, yeah, and they're just like, I wonder what this is all about.
Yeah, I wonder what these eggs are. What strange creatures must they say something like, what monster eggs are they using? It's like a big
ant thing. Yeah,
figure it out.
Must be chickens.
So Taki's like, okay, well, you know, karate chop. He tries to break this egg, fails miserably, hurts his hand,
and they're like, okay, let's take this and we'll figure things out later.
Yeah, he says he reckons that it must be as strong as iron.
Yeah.
And so they grab the egg to take it with them.
Alarm goes off.
Yeah, an alarm goes off.
And then they go through the escape, which is just them punching a bunch of guards and throwing some people that are deaths.
Well, yeah. So they're attacking some guards. They trip one, and he's under the trap.
And
so it, like, slams down on him.
Remember, all these people are brainwashed. Well, we don't know about the Shocker Goons, but all of the cyborgs are brainwashed.
Yeah.
If they haven't been made.
Well, I think we did see that one episode where they were just making soldiers.
Yeah.
With the poison gas, like the bee episode, I think was the purpose of that.
But it's like, oh, whatever. They didn't get lucky. So then they...
So they're outside now. Their outfits are completely gone.
Yeah, they had time to change. And then they're outside and still beating up some guys.
Yeah.
And then Hayato's just like, take the egg and go. And Taki's like, good luck, and he guns.
Yeah, so he gets going. Taki sees some random girl. Like, he's driving on his motorcycle. He kind of doesn't run her over, but she steps to the side. Anyway, she's like, oh, my leg. And he's like, oh, well, let me take you to the hospital. Get on my bike. So she transforms into the ant creature, obviously. And she's like, oh, my egg. Not like that. I'm just saying it. Now she's trying to attack him because he's got the egg.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of dodging around. I'm sure that would be kind
this
of...
Is, this was an... Oh, a funny scene, because it's like, this could have been a whole episode.
Oh, where, yeah.
Like, this lady who is actually the monster.
Yeah.
And no, like, that's one scene. We never see her again.
No.
Doesn't reveal this power ever again.
Yeah, 0.5 seconds of being a lady.
Yeah. And now it's the monster again. It's like,
I will say she spoiled her chance for a sneak attack here.
Oh, yeah. She totally just snapped his neck.
Yeah.
Or just, like, punched through his sternum with her claws or whatever. Uh-huh. But no, had to, like, be menacing.
To be fair, it's only, like, 2 days old, so.
Yeah. Maybe it was kind of born yesterday.
Yeah.
But
Nigo shows up, and, you know, he kind of gets his attention, tells Taki to skedaddle.
You're the cyborg. You're fighting me, killer ant. He transforms.
Well, not yet. They're just kind of dancing around, and she puts him into, like, his footwork lands him in a kind of a pit trap.
Yeah, that's right. And it's an ant colony.
Yeah, and there's tons and tons of ants on the wall.
So this is something you probably didn't think that would happen with an ant monster. Actual ants.
Yeah, like a hordes and swarms of ants. Yeah, it's a very nice surprise.
And so that's the idea, is that the ant queens can control actual ants.
Yeah.
And I can't believe we didn't think about killer ants.
I know, right?
I'm just like, that's the obvious one. Like, killer bees is like the first one you think of, but that killer ants is one of those urban legends type things.
Yeah.
It's like you'll get bitten by fire ants and they'll die or something like that.
Well, I mean, the truth is, if there's enough ants, you will.
Yeah.
You will.
Yeah.
And there is definitely enough ants in that pit.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, enough of anything will kill you.
Right, right.
I think I told you about that joke about, like, vampires trying to figure out how to kill humans.
Yeah.
And then, like, one vampire comes out. It's like,
you'll never believe it.
I figured it out. Just like, you cut off their head.
What? Give them too much water.
Yeah, give them too much water.
Not
Don't
enough.
Give them enough water. Stab them the kidneys. Wait till they eat. Give them too much to eat. But yeah, so of course, the killer queen's just like, die in my evil trap. See you later. Out.
Yeah, it's like, aha, they'll soon devour you. We'll devour him. And then he goes to the mid-splat.
And he transforms, and for a second there, I'm like, oh, this is a good plan, because he doesn't have a place to jump. Because, like, he needs to jump to transform. Uh-huh. But no, he just jumps out.
Yeah, jumps up towards the ceiling.
Yeah.
It was a nice idea. Again, she's only a day old. It's not her fault.
And, like, there's a lot of ideas here that could be done a whole lot more, like, filled out. Mm-hmm. But, like I said, there's a lot of ideas in this episode.
Yeah, this is yeah, there's a lot. Like I said, we're just halfway through the episode now.
Yeah.
This is the first time he's henshin, so
yeah.
Good sign.
So he escapes and jumps all the way to a dam.
With goons already there, ready for a bridge
fight.
Well,
she's like, it's like, you won't escape me. And a bunch of goons come out. You what? You're not doing nothing.
Seriously. Like, he kind of lazily runs away and fights them. She's slow to follow.
He gets to the top and uses the acid.
Yeah, so she hits him with the acid. Like, I actually like this, because usually in cases like this, there's just some poison and he just, dodges. You know, because obviously you want to dodge the stuff coming at you.
Yeah.
And we never actually see it come to effect, really. In this case, no, he sort of gets sprayed. It hurts. It burns. He can't do it.
I can't see. And then he just dives off into the water, which is the right move to do.
Right.
To wash off the poison.
So I want to say, I can't express how much I love what's about to happen. So he jumps into the water, and this ant is just gloating about having won the fight against Kamen Rider. And this whole time, I'm like, bro, your egg's gone. Did you forget?
Yeah, goes back to the base, and Zol is not happy.
He's like, you fool. You let the egg go. It's like, I'm like, yes. This is exactly what I was saying in my head.
And so what it is that all these eggs are other ant queens, because he explains the plan. Because it's the plan playing his plan. So the idea is to send one of these eggs to every district or the island, the major islands of Japan, and each one of them will, like, hatch, and then they'll use all the ants that are there in those islands to destroy Japan.
Yeah.
Or take over Japan.
Yeah.
Great. Because, like, there's a lot of ants.
There's a lot of ants.
And if they're focused,
it's easy to make more.
Yeah.
Especially when you have full control over them.
Yeah. And if they're focused, you could take out power plants and all that stuff, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I mean, if you live in a house, you know that ants can get in anywhere.
Oh, dude, seriously. Yeah. Seriously.
I was like, how did it crawl all the way up to my computer monitor arm?
Yeah.
Like, what? I was
from where?
Like, the other day, I was just watching, like, and, like, it's on a standing desk. Like, my monitor is on an arm, and then, like, the ant just across the screen. I'm like, what the crap?
How'd you get here?
Yeah. One single ant. There was also something about, like, the fact that, like, some ants, like, when you kill them, they release a smell to attract other ants, saying that there's something here.
Yes. Yeah, it's like because they can follow the trail all the way up to it. It's really weird. Like, if you ever, like, wiped your finger across a trail of ants, okay, it's just sometimes they're lost, even though it's just, like, one finger swipe through it, and they have to, like, go around.
Yeah.
It's funky.
Yeah, they're weird.
They are weird.
But then again, they're insects, so most insects are weird.
Insects are cool.
Anyways, so...
So he's rightfully pissed, and he's like, you ruined the plan. The queen's like, Oh, yeah, I'm going to go get back the egg. I won't fail you again. He's like, all right, this is your second chance.
Yeah.
You know, it's your last chance.
Yes.
Make it happen.
Because you'll probably die if you don't fail. Because right. I won't have to kill you. If you fail, this Kamen Rider's going to kill you. So then it's back at the club.
And yeah, so Taki returns.
Taki and Hidato just come in, and you're like, what? I guess it worked. Where do you drive him into the water?
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's fine. Because no other word about it.
Yeah. Yeah, so just jump in the water, problem solved.
I mean, this would have been the perfect time to have him out for the rest of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, no, he just walks back in. and so they bring in this giant egg, and they're basically just messing around with the girls, be like, you go ahead and try to crack it. And then they, like, hurt themselves trying to crack it. And
oh, because they're like, oh, what's this? It looks interesting. Oh, they make a huge omelet. And she's taking these chopsticks to try to crack it so they can make a giant omelet.
Yeah, and he's just like, I got it from a shocker face. You're like, what the crap?
And now suddenly it was like, whoa. It's like Tachibana gets up like, why are you bringing it in here?
It's like, we just need a place to hold it. And he's just like, it's dangerous. He's white.
Yeah. So he's, but we only he just have wants to keep it in the garage, basically.
Yeah.
Where else? I mean, honestly, though, where else are you going to take it?
So they go to the garage, and Hayato just dips.
Yeah. They're worried, like, is this thing going to hatch? Like, should we be worried? And he's like, no, it'll be fine. And they're like, well, where's Hayato? And Tachibana comes in, like, this SOB always leaving us here with this crap.
He's like, what are we, a bunch
mother hens?
Yeah, just watching an egg. What are you guys doing? And he's like, oh, yeah, Taki. There's a phone call for you.
Yeah.
And I guess time has passed, but they're really bad at...
Yeah, this was, like, probably one of the... This is, like, the big hiccup in the episode.
This is also before they're really... We were talking about it. This is before they had the art of the establishing shot.
Yes.
where you had to like kind of pick things up by context.
Yeah, you really don't know what you got till it's gone. And this is one of those cases where, all as far as we know, they've just walked from one room to the other.
Yeah.
But apparently enough time has passed for Hayato to slip away.
Go to the, I guess, the institute, the university.
Research place, yeah. To analyze this formic acid as what it is.
Yeah. He's like, oh, it's formic acid.
And then make a phone call, which Taki answers. Yes. All, you know.
So it's been a while, but it just like it doesn't feel like it. Because of
right.
Bad editing. And they're like, oh, fold the cast. And he's like, yeah, so I'm going to, I guess, still do stuff here.
Yeah. He basically says to him, look, if it looks like it's going to hatch, just get out.
Yeah.
Dip out.
Yeah.
And of course, as he mentions that, it goes back to the girls who are now all asleep around
because
the
table. Because I guess more time has passed. It's Mari and Yuri and Goro all asleep.
Yeah, so they're around this table. The egg is glowing green.
It's alternating different colors.
Yeah, and then they, because it's like green and gray and whatnot. Mari wakes up and she's like,
no, Yuri.
Oh, Yuri. So Yuri wakes up. She's like, hey, what's going on with this egg? It's not glowing anymore. It's like a dull gray. Did you guys move it? Somebody move it? Everyone waking up like, I didn't touch it. Did you touch it? Nobody touched it.
So what she says is she wakes up is like, what is that stink?
Well, then she's like, what is that smell? And everyone's like, oh, you know. Like,
and then they're like, Mari's with you? And she's like, I wouldn't do that. And it's just like they're blaming each other on a fart. And they're like, oh, no, it's the egg. The egg smells bad.
And like I think sulfur. At this point it starts glowing like red green, right?
Yeah,
like back and forth between red and
well,
green.
Well, so they're smelling it, and then Tachibana comes in, and that's when it starts to. And they're like, "Whoa, this is freaking out!" And they're like, "Go get Taki."
Yeah, come quick! And he, you know, he's like, "What? It's doing stuff!" And he just drops the phone without saying anything. Thankfully, Hayato hears over the phone, like, "What was that, Mari? Are you telling the truth?" She can't answer you, bro. But so they're in the room and they figure it's about to hatch and they're like, oh, I think Mari in this case is like, oh, I want to see what hatches. And they're like, we got to get out of here.
And they get out and they get out and then ants are attacking.
Yeah. So the whole house is like surrounded and covered with ants. Like they're on the window.
They're coming through every crack. They're doing this thing. And so it's like, fight the ants. And it's like, how can you fight this?
Yeah, you can't. Like with that many ants, you're pretty much gone unless you have. No, I mean, I can't think of a scenario where you're getting out of that without just escaping.
Yeah, leave.
Because they can get in. At first, I was like, they're, you know, they think they're safe because they're inside, but it's getting through this window and just coming in droves. I'm like, well, yeah, they're going to be coming in from literally everywhere. This is an unreal amount of ants.
Yeah. This is, you have to bug bomb it, and that's enough poison to kill these ants would kill you too.
Yeah. It's like, if that's just it, they're going to get you before the poison kills them. It's like, you might as well, like if you had a flamethrower, I guess, or.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, so.
It's an unreal situation that.
They're like stomping on it, trying to do what they can.
Because Doki's like, just fight until your last breath.
And then the actual killer queen comes in.
Yeah, because this whole time there's this weird sound and everyone's like trying to cover their ears because it hurts.
And this is where Goro is just like, kill it with fire!
So
he's right!
Well, because he says...
if it's an ant, use fire.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know where that comes from, but if it's organic, burn it.
So I think it comes from magnifying glasses on ants.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know,
that makes
using
sense.
Heat, yeah. So, but yeah, burn it with fire.
Yeah, because that's just it. It's like, I wouldn't say it's a specific weakness, or it's a weakness specific to ants so much as, like, it's your organic, it probably burns.
But, like, you hear about, that was the thing that always, like, was funny about, like, Highlander. It's like, you kill them by cutting off their head. You kill off most things.
Yeah.
That kills most things.
It's like, well, that's...
When that doesn't work, that's when you have a problem.
Yeah. Seriously. No kidding.
I mean, even zombies.
Yeah. If the zombie lives from getting his head chopped off, it's like we're in a whole different ball game. Return of the Living Dead is what that is.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think the worst version. Like, worst as in, like, the deadliest.
Yeah.
Besides, like, ones that just spew bloody murder and... I guess the hive.
I knew this guy, and his deal was that for his horror movies, it was the shotgun problem.
Mm.
So he would only watch horror movies where you could fight it with a shotgun.
Oh, so anything more than that, and it's too much for him.
Yeah, so he wouldn't watch like ghost movies or like demonic possession movies and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But like zombie movies and monster movies, like even if the people don't have it.
Yeah,
but
as long as there's a means.
Yeah, like it. He could watch it. That was fine.
Right.
That,
so he's not like into cosmic horror.
Yeah,
know, sort of.
Like that. So he would none The Grudge. None The Ring, you know,
right.
But like any zombie movie, that's fine. Any of those type of things.
Like, yeah.
Even things like Jason, you know, stuff like that. It's like, you know, if you could fight it.
Yeah. Right. So I guess my question to him would be like, what about like if you're on a boat and there's a giant kraken
He's like, it's still a physical thing.
It's okay, so it's still something that can be...
Yeah, I mean, he just shortened it to the shotgun problem, but it was like something that you could physically fight.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha.
But yeah.
If you have enough nuclear submarines or something like that, then you're dealing with... Okay, yeah. I gotcha.
He didn't mind being scared, but he just didn't want to be unreasonably scared is the idea.
Fair enough, yeah. Yeah.
So,
I hear you, because you at least want to imagine yourself in the scenario...
Like surviving the
scenario.
Yeah,
like what's the best case?
Yeah.
In the case of The Grudge, there is no best case.
Yeah. It's just you're dead.
It's the best case scenario is that you die politely in the house and you don't burn it down, releasing it for the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But that didn't happen, did it? Thanks, Buffy. Yeah.
So
anyways, yeah, there's this huge red glow going around and the sound's pretty, you know, deafening. It comes through the door like, they burn it with fire.
Yeah.
Because they make like a torch with gas and like a wrapped jacket or something like that.
They just personally burn a cloth and throw it at it.
Yeah. And so it leaves the room and they're like, oh, thank God it's over. And they hear Hayato calling from the door like, hey, let me in. It's me. And so Mari rushes over to open the door and Taki's like, no, that's not Hayato's voice. And sure enough, it's the aunt now with some goons. So got him.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Yeah, there we go. Now I know you don't have fire.
Yeah, it's like, how is this a plan? Why? Why do you need to get them to open the door when you literally, in 2 seconds, can melt any door?
So they narrowly escape to the garage where they slam the door shut. They're like, burn the egg. Just burn it. They try. Doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, this is great. This is like
it was logical thinking.
Yeah.
Made
they burn
sense.
It and they're like, it doesn't work.
Yeah. It's just lighting on. It's like just lit on fire and kind of.
And that makes sense. The eggshell itself is protected.
Yeah.
It's not. It's an interesting concept where something isn't vulnerable till after it's been born.
Yeah. So you see the door, it gets kind of like some red stuff seeping through it, and then it just melts inside, and it's like basically paper mache now, which I thought was really cool.
So, yeah.
Because we were just talking about, like you just said, you could just melt the door down, and then there he goes and does it, or she does.
Yeah.
So the other one, I think,
but
was more
not
like,
the front door.
Yeah, the front door was, I think the front door is more of shock and awe, like, haha, I can make voices too for no reason.
For some reason.
And it shows a quick scene of Hayato being like, just hold on, and he henshins, and then he gets on a bike and starts to drive towards them.
Is he just like outside? He's going to jump there? Because that's what it looks like. It looks like he's... It looks like...
Seriously, I thought this was going to be one of those where he jumps and now he's inside.
Yeah, because
right?
It looks like he's... But no, he's... This scene should have happened way earlier.
Yes, yes.
It should have happened
as
right
soon as
after...
the phone was set down.
Yeah. And so now it's just like, I'm going! Get in the motorcycle. Yeah, like, I kind of want to, like, splice in more scenes of him just driving.
Yeah, he switches to a bus.
Yes, him sitting in a bus, waiting, calling a taxi, getting in line at the airport, like, checking his bags.
Yeah, he's
going through customs.
He's, like, halfway through the line, and then he hears there's going to be a delay, and everyone's like, oh.
Him getting pulled out of the crowd, answering questions, getting frisked, you know, going all sorts of stuff, and finally I'm
eating at Denny's.
Yeah.
Staring at the window.
And then it goes, bus breaks down, has to be repaired, you know.
So the queen and the goons, they step through the door as if nothing's happened. Everyone's backed up. They don't know what's going to happen. She could easily melt them all.
Yes.
And at first, this would have been a suck, except that she's like, I'm going to let you be feed for my aunts. Get them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, okay, there you go. There's an actual reason for a hostage situation, even though they're not hostages. They're just soon to be devoured.
Death trap.
Yeah.
It's for a ticking time.
Yeah.
For a ticking clock. There's a reason for a ticking clock. She wants to feed all the ants.
Yeah, rather than just
give them a taste for blood.
Yeah. And so you start seeing them come through the door. It's, you know, it's a nifty bit of, because like these days we would just digitally animate it.
It would just be
a swarm of black death. In this case, they kind of like sprinkled some stuff. There's like clearly something on the ground that can be moved if you kicked it. And then as far as like the walls and the door frame, they've kind of just glued on some dirt.
Yeah,
I don't even know.
Yeah, probably just spots, whatever. Yeah,
bits of rubber, who knows.
Then Ryder shows up.
Yes. Oh yeah, so I couldn't understand my notes, because at this point so much more happens that I only had one line left, and if I had known I would have definitely condensed the last four lines. But I just didn't think it was going to keep going and going.
Yeah, so Ryder shows up and they start, they're just and he's just punching
and then he fights the goons.
Fights the goons.
Everyone forgets that these ants were just
and then Aunt Queen spews the acid on his shoulder. And he's like, oh,
and he's like hurt. And he's like, you know.
And so he just grabs the eggs and runs.
Yeah. And so he's like everyone there.
Yeah. Well, they're going to follow him. So that's the idea, is he's being the bait to drag them all away. And it works. They all follow him.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do follow him. It does happen to work. The next scene, he's like at the quarry.
Yeah, he's at the
Riverside quarry thing. I don't know.
That's in between all places.
Yeah.
He's
in limbo. Quarry limbo.
Yeah. The all-encompassing quarry. Does some fights. He's protecting the egg, I guess.
Yeah, and they all... Okay, so this is where the goons burrow out of the ground to attack him. They're like, you know, they got knives in their hands. Everybody's got freaking knives. He disarms one, slashes for a second, and then they're trying to throw knives at him.
He throws a knife and stabs the guy with one, and so pretty much just like, quit bringing weapons. You fools, you brought a knife fight to a punching... You brought a knife to a punch fight.
Right. Rascal.
Yeah. So they're going back and forth, and... Aunt Queen, he takes out all the goons. Aunt Queen goes to spew him with the acid,
mm-hmm.
and he just uses the egg.
Yeah, he shields himself with the egg, and it melts the egg. So the acid works.
Yeah.
Which was good. I'm like, okay, yeah, perfect sense.
Yeah. It's like, you can't destroy yourself. It's only weakness is itself.
It's rough, man. So this is, okay, back to these suit actors. Up to this point, you've seen them fight, and it's definitely one of those things where you can tell the guy cannot see. Every time they go to swing at him, he's just doing the moves that they've rehearsed, right?
Yeah.
And the next scene, you see him and this aunt go up on this cliff, and knowing that they can't see, I'm like, hell no, you're not paying me enough for this. It's like 12 feet, 13 feet.
You probably have noticed also that the suit is showing some wear.
Yeah, yeah. It's
like the bottom part of the jaw is all off, and like it's getting rough around the edges.
Yeah, they've put some use into this $12 or whatever it is.
Yeah, but yeah, so they throw a guy off a cliff.
And it's like a long drop. I'm like, how do you, even if there's like a cushion down there, that's still going to hurt.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
I think what they're called, in the Hong Kong action, I think they're called red trousers.
Oh.
It's like the stuntmen from the Hong Kong action movies is like their generic term.
The ones that are meant to be thrown off buildings.
Yeah, just the stuntmen that are meant to be the guys that are just mowed down by Jackie Chan and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. I actually saw this crazy one for Tony Jaa, like, because there was a one-shot scene of him going up some stairs, and you see it from the bottom because this whole thing is set up to throw a guy off like the third story and make him fall through this, you know, like little wooden stand thing. I think a bar is what it's supposed to be. And just watching it from the bottom, the dude just waiting for this one shot of him going through the thing, it was crazy. And there's no way to take that fall in a way that doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, no serious damage, but you're not walking away like, all right, let's do it again.
Yeah, they're tough people. Anyway, so also the aunt tries to spray him a few times and he just dodges.
Yeah, so now he's figured out, because in fairness, it's coming out of two antenna things. It's kind of crazy. So now that he understands the trajectory, he knows what to do. That's
so
how
he dodges a couple times and it's like showing it spewing into water.
Yeah, yeah. Now that confused me. I had to seriously think back to those moments because when what we're about to talk about happened.
So then he does the rider kick. He jumps, mm-hmm. does the flip, rider kick. Kicks him, he falls down into the water with all of his acid, and it dissolves him.
Yeah, and I'm like, wait, what is this, a red river? And then, wait, he's dying of acid? I'm like, when the hell did that happen? And then, thinking back, it's like, oh, that's right, every time he missed.
And it magically cures everything.
This is the stupid part of this episode.
Feedback loop blows up all the other ants.
Yeah, so he explodes because he dies. It causes all of the... First off, it causes shocker equipment in another area to start blowing up, which causes the eggs to blow up. And Zol's like, damn, a chain reaction. Ah,
it kills all
Rider.
The ants. Foy now, I can again. See the ants dying because it's the queen.
Yeah.
That's fine.
They didn't even need an explanation. It's like they were mind controlled and now they're dead.
Yeah.
But
they don't die. They disappear.
Yeah. Swoom, 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 yeah.
But yeah.
They're leaving.
The other, maybe this is the queen's queen.
Oh, fair enough.
it's the mega queen.
This is the one that bred all the other ones.
Yes. And so Zoe's like, ah, feedback loop. And then it goes to, they're all fine.
Yeah,
and
everything's good.
And Hayato comes in, and this is a point where they don't know he's Kamen Rider at this moment. And they're like, where are you? And he's like, oh, I guess something happened or whatever. And he makes a snide remark.
He's like, I guess I gotta go. I'm a rascal.
And then he leaves, and then he's all serious driving on the motorcycle. Okay. And that's the end of the episode. So what is your suck?
Okay, so I actually have two sucks and three sugois. It's very likely that one of these is going to overlap with yours. So I figure you go first,
So my suck is that it's just like, oh, and everything's solved when you kick him.
Yeah, the chain reaction was the biggest suck of this episode, no question.
It's like, seriously?
It's like, it's such a good episode, and then it just ends with a nice, tidy, now not all of your problems are solved.
Even though when you got to set explosives and blown it up late, like, it would have been really good if they would have, like, blown up the base originally.
Yeah.
And that's why they're really after this egg.
They really need this one egg, because it's the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, it's just chain reaction, everything blows up.
Yeah, and it's like, I know they are nowhere near that base, because they're definitely near wherever the racing club is.
Yeah.
Which we know is absolutely nowhere near the Shocker base that gets blown up. What the hell?
Yeah.
Makes no sense. My other suck is that second to last fight where they're in the garage and he just takes the egg and runs off. I don't mind that bit. Just that the ants have no reason to stop attacking, I guess.
Well, it shows that they're fighting the ants the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I suppose.
Maybe they're not as active unless under direct control.
Yeah, maybe they kind of just scattering around at that point. It just it felt kind of underwhelming. Like, there was like this looming threat, and then it's like, ah, never mind. I'm going to go after the egg. I mean, they did say to Zol, like, I feel like before that bit with Zol, they would have probably stayed to finish the job and then go after the egg, because where is he going to go with it?
Yeah.
This is the racing club. There's nowhere else.
Yeah.
But, I felt kind of underwhelmed.
Yeah.
And your Segoy?
So my Segoy is the Shocker plan.
Yeah.
The Shocker plan of, like, using ants to take over the world, and you're like, all of a sudden you're like, oh, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Makes Ant-Man so much more powerful. But, I mean, you just look at the Ant-Man movie and stuff, but, like, he was always a joke in the comic books. It was funny.
Mm.
But he wasn't as much of a joke as the Atom was in Justice League. But the Atom in Justice League, though, was crazy, especially, like, in the 70s and stuff like that, where he's able to shrink down to an Atom, follow the electrical impulse, and travel through phone lines.
Yeah.
And just be like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah, they take it to the seriously, the next level.
Yeah, yeah. He's able to call a line. This is back when everything was landlines. He was able to, I guess it would make sense even in a cell phone, because it's just an electrical impulse.
Right.
He just follows the electrical impulse and just comes out on the other side.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But then you realize, you're like, that is billions of miles of distance at his size.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, yeah. So my Segoy is just that the Shocker plan.
Mm-hmm.
The Shocker plan of, like, it's an ant.
It's solid. And I definitely liked that they were really wanting to keep it secret.
Yeah.
Because I think it could have been, like, it definitely took way less setup than the moles.
Yeah.
But, you know, it would work.
Yes. So what is your Segoy?
So first off, right off the bat, immediately, it's not a feminized ant.
Yeah.
Like, ants don't have boobs and hips. I mean, I guess they are curvy.
Yes. You know. But it's an insect, not right. a mammal.
So it's nice that they didn't go...
Unlike what they did with the queen bee or whatever.
Right. They didn't go fem ant with this one, which is usually... I mean, I've come to expect it.
Yes.
So when it didn't happen, I was like, oh, it's just an ant. Nice. I mean, they kind of gave it like a sort of voice, but whatever.
It was the voice was the voice of the lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Zol, awesome this episode. Like, definitely in a leadership role here, and I love that he's like, I don't care that you think you've won, you've lost the egg, and that was the whole damn point. Like,
yeah,
obviously beat Kamen Rider when you can, but don't fail in the actual mission, which is to get the damn egg, which you get just right off in the wind. And the other thing too is the use of the ant swarm. Like, even if it didn't actually accomplish much, just the idea of being surrounded by a swarm of ants all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And it kind of gets into this sort of like The Birds by Alfred Hitchcock or whatever situation where you're like, you're stuck in there. They kind of played it with like coming through the windows. And
yeah. Them, where it's like, it's actual like
terror.
Yeah. Scary.
Yeah. They were definitely not in a, they were not happy with that situation.
Like the thing is like, we were just talking about the shotgun thing, but like, this is even like, it's a questioning, like, how well would that actually work?
Yeah.
Like, a shotgun work against ants.
Yeah, a flamethrower. I just feel like you'd burn the house down before you did anything meaningful. Like, if regular ants obviously aren't going to swarm to this degree. And also, if there's fire, they're not going to be near it. But we're talking, you know, these aren't actual ants. They're mind-controlled ants or whatever. I'm sure there's like I almost guarantee you there's going to be like a Doctor Who episode where somebody gets swarmed with ants, or like, I think Supernatural might have had one.
Yeah, Supernatural had an insect one.
Yeah, and the whole idea, that's, you can't win that, man. You're going to die.
The Supernatural one was like they found a guy dead, and it turned out that like beetles had eaten his brain.
Oh, it was that the one with like the they're building like real estate on a Native American sort of
Okay. And there was also a an episode of the X-Files that had to deal with cockroaches.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, I remember that one. I remember that one.
Where like he kept finding bodies and expecting it cockroaches, and he kept calling back to Scully, and Scully would like explain the death in a different way.
Uh huh. Because she doesn't believe.
Yeah.
Right. No, so honestly, like, I could see this being filled out to an hour and 30 minute movie, no problem. You could even make a 2 hour movie, no problem. And it would actually enhance this episode, in my opinion, because you could fill out more details. You could have a longer Siege of the Ants scene.
Yeah, at least two episodes. Like, that's saying it was a breakneck pace episode.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
But only one or two times did it feel rushed.
Yeah.
There was just a lot going on. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, us in our modern era ideas, like, just breathe it out a little bit. Uh-huh. Talk about your feelings some more. yeah. How is this affecting you emotionally? You know, how should we kill these ants? Because they're victims too.
Yeah. No, I mean, the episode definitely had a frantic pace. I don't know if I would have liked it as if without adding more stuff to it. I don't know how you could spread it out across two episodes.
Yeah.
I guess you could. They've done it before, but then I guarantee you there would have been moments where I'm like, why did we need that scene there? Kind of like you said, like, we don't need to talk about whether or not it's ethical to kill the swarm of ants that are surrounding your house. Let's just kill the ants.
Yeah.
But, like, if adding more detail to certain scenes and not just having dead space with him, like, riding on a bike or something, that's how I imagine they would split it up into two episodes.
Yeah.
Or, like, having a longer scene of them searching the vault for whatever the intruder is. That kind of thing is how I feel like they would pad it out.
Yeah.
But, like, you could add more detail and story to this, and it worked perfectly fine. So, I had to explain, though, because it was starting to sound like I was contradicting myself.
Yeah.
And it's because I was leaving out a key bit of information.
It's like, what would they would have added on is the important part. Yeah.
Yeah, because they would want to add, like, I guarantee you they'd have more of the security people walking around looking for it, because that's an easy way to add more time without the actors that matter for the story having to switch sets or anything.
That's what they would have done, but yeah. This is almost like what would it would be like if we took some of those padded out two episode ones
and just jammed them together,
cut them down,
yeah,
moving all those extra scenes.
I actually thought about doing that just to practice editing, try to like take the
two. There's a couple people that do that with old Doctor Who. Hmm. They'll like take the older Doctor Who episodes and cut them like the newer Doctor Who episodes.
Kind of get rid of redundancies.
Yeah, and so take a 2 hour thing and make it a 45 minute thing. Because there's a lot of bouncing around. I mean, it's hard to do. The reason why it's hard to do is incidental music.
Oh, like it'll have all of a sudden it's like, bum, bum, or, you know.
Yeah, because the music is like the pacing that they do. And so older shows like this have less of it, but because now it's like back-to-back music always in the background. So that's why a lot of the recuts of just like movies, because a lot of people do recut movies. They'll like make The Hobbit into one movie or something like that.
Right.
Or they'll take, I've seen people do all three X-Men movies and just make it one movie. but yeah, it's that music that's been set up that we think it would be easy to like edit a movie together. And it's easier for them because they can remove the music, edit it, and then put back in the music.
Yeah, because it's different tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it takes a lot more work. Sometimes you get lucky and there'll be a separated track and stuff. That's one of the problems One Piece has.
Oh, the One Piece supercut.
Yeah, the One Piece cut where they cut it to the manga. They have problems a lot with the music.
Yeah, because they
don't want it to be as jarring as like that.
Yeah.
You know.
Where you're halfway through Luffy's theme and then suddenly you're on Ace's theme or something. Yeah.
So they try to like, they do the best they can.
Yeah, because it's like, there's no way we're going to find an episode of this with separate music files.
And, yeah, exactly.
Know, not going to happen.
So now we got the writer ranking.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now, Nego is below Vulcan.
Mm.
And I think we were talking about how little Vulcan has been doing.
Yeah. He's been a set piece this last episode at the very least.
So I think, because we always say it's like, well, if they do it, then we'll change it. I think we should put him above Vulcan.
Yeah.
This episode. Because he took the initiative. Like, it was like kind of an anticlimactic, and that's the editing thing. But like him grabbing it and be like, chase me.
Right.
I'm your target.
Even a single scene of them leaving the garage, like if they had access to more sets.
Yes.
That would have changed everything.
I don't think it's enough to go above Kuga.
No. That would be really weird.
Yeah. I mean, possible. I mean.
Because I'm well. I mean, if you want, okay, here's I guess my point of view. It works the same way with Vulcan. Kuga should be able to do enough in his next episode to bump him up.
Yeah.
So if you want to bump him over Kuga, and then we just move Kuga back up next episode, I almost guarantee you. But
let's see what happened in the last episode of Kuga.
Okay. Let's see. He went and he was talking to the kids because they were having that fight.
Yeah.
Over the like.
Yeah, it was
the
actually
Legos.
A pretty good Kuga episode, if I remember correctly, because it's like he had a whole thing about the. There was the gold curry too. It got me on my curry kick that's been lasting ever since then. But
I can go for some curry.
Yeah, so I think that will be
because what was the monster of the week? Why am I not remembering that?
So it's
it directly after
it's the guy who's killing all the kids. They're like they get a thing in their brain.
Oh yes, the porcupine thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
and so. It ended with him, he's fighting. Oh, that's right. That was actually the lame thing about it. It ended with him just doing an attack.
Yeah.
That was the cliffhanger of the episode, was him doing an attack.
Yeah.
So, now that I think about that, yeah, let's put Diego above Kuga for the
Because I figure even if it's unjustified, if Kuga should be able to just get back up then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, and so if it isn't, if he doesn't, then it was the right move to put him there anyways.
Right, because I feel like, especially in Kuga's case, following 71 and before double, it's like if we say something like, okay, if he does something bad, we'll drop him down below.
I think we should start being more fluid with the changing.
Right.
Especially with 71.
Getting a little too rigid.
We're just like, oh, this is what they're at.
Yeah, because when we started this, we described kind of Hongo and Nico as like the boat on top of the water.
Yeah.
They're just going to go wherever the tides are. In this case, we're being a little bit more, let's wait and see. And then we wait and see, and it's like, well,
nothing happens. So
especially because it's hard to remember what happens in a 71 episode.
So I think we should start being more fluid with it, which probably still will mean XL and double never change. But
yeah. I think too, it's like for certain shows, especially the ones like these, like style points matter. I feel like coming in and if he takes out a group of goons in a cool way, it's harder for him to do that than it is for 01 to come out with like a cool new move and or like a combo.
It's like even though when 01 uses Shining, it looks so much cooler when you get up four or five guys.
It looks really good. And like,
this episode, when he's taking out four or five guys holding that egg with those knives, it's actually really sweet considering what this is.
Yeah, if you break it down to what it is, sure. If you were to compare one to the other based on visual, like how impressive it is, it's never, ever, ever going to win. And that's kind of a problem, right?
Yeah.
Like Kong punches the ground as Hornet electrifies it. We're not going to have that in 71.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
But the first time we see a double rider kick, that will be epic.
Oh, in 71?
When both of them do a kick at the same time.
So you get what I'm saying? Yeah. Because like at a certain point, I think we do have to take when it came out into account and like what they're dealing with. Like this is the stuff, like these guys paved the way for things. So I feel like they get a little bit of leeway. I don't know if I would extend that so far to like Kuga, because at that point now you have the resources.
Yes. So you have the knowledge and the resources to make up for your lack of special effects there.
Right. And I haven't seen Black RX, but I know like around the time it comes out. So I'm wondering if that one should also get the leeway, or like how far into the Showa era do we stop giving that crutch, right?
So like Black does not skip. I mean, it's definitely not. It's early 80s and like 90s and stuff like that. It's definitely like the special effects of the day.
Okay.
But like the creature effects then are like really good.
Okay.
Because that's like, you know how we say the TV shows are like five, TV shows in America are like 5 years behind like what's in the movies. And like Japanese is like 5 years behind what's that. So like the creature effects in like, they remind me a lot of like the style of the, like the creature effects of like TV versions of them, of like the John Carter's a thing and stuff like
that. Yeah.
So it's like they're very monstrous. And so the creature effects, the special effects of like the lighting and stuff like that and like all that stuff, you're like, eh.
Yeah.
But like the monster effects are pretty
good. The actual like practical effects.
Yes.
Then. Yeah. Okay. So yeah. And we're going to play it by ear, obviously. It's going to be case by case basis. But I do feel like a little bit more of a weighted system early.
I mean, we will be in some crazy shit. So the thing is like those shows will be like, we will be in some crazy, we'll be in like, oh man, at that time for Black.
Oh yeah, for the Black. Yeah.
For Black, we will be in Kiva and I think Build.
I think you have said Build before, yeah.
So, because Build is the one before Zio, and Zio is the last.
And we'll have RX for that one.
Yeah. So RX and Decade and Zio. Oh, that'll be interesting.
That's going to be a really weird one.
Yes, because like a lot of people don't like any of those shows.
Yeah. we have to, at that point, we're struggling to find the one that we like the most.
But like what's going
to
be really weird is watching Kiva and Build at the same time because there's an actor in both of them.
Yeah. Got to disassociate.
It's one actor in both of the show playing completely different character.
Because yeah, we're going to be like, oh, he's improved so much, or oh, he's lost that edge that he had.
So yeah, but the next episode of Kamen Rider 71 is the revived mummy monster Egyptos. Egyptos, I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the best guess that we have.
It's Egyptos. But and you're right, it's exactly what you think it is.
Yeah. Like just throwing the judo master?
No, like what the monster is.
Oh, a mummy.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't want to go that. Yeah. So yeah, literally what you think it is. Gotcha. Yeah.
But our next episode will be episode 35 of Kuga, entitled Emotion.
Emotion?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I think I remember saying that last time, as it sounds like one we should have had already if we didn't.
Yes. But yeah, so he's fighting this creature who's killing a bunch of school kids.
Mm-hmm. And, the ring or 7 days to die, or like a, what is it, six? It's a cell phone one where you get the call and 7 days later you die, that kind of thing.
It's like if you see him, you're going to die.
Right.
Like I was telling, and like, it's hard because it's, I'm like, I think whenever I think it's like Tsubaki, I'm thinking now of the weird guy who's dying of a disease, but he wasn't in this one.
Right.
Yeah. But Tsubaki, and they still haven't figured out what his...
like how it's doing what it does.
How it's doing, why it's doing, like what is its rules and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rose is off doing some weird stuff.
Hit the rules that he's got to... did they? They didn't mention it, did they?
They didn't. No, they haven't yet. They just know he's killing all these kids.
Okay.
And it's like he has to kill all the kids, I guess.
Oh, you're right, because the grungy bit was the bat getting whomped on by the two...
Everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody talking smack to the bat. So that will be our next episode. I've been Eric.
And I'm Eugene.
And we will see you next time.